Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you'd like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This week, in a sermon called The Declaration, Pastor Josh Finkley explains why we want to make followers of Jesus, not fans. Enjoy the message.
Well, hey, Rock Church, how's everybody doing today? Man, it is so good to see those of you here in Conway. And I want to give a special shout out right now because I know all of our campuses, all right? All of our campuses are watching and joining in today. We got people at Coastal. We got people in Aynor. We got people at the Conway Coffee Bar. We got people online. So for those of you in Conway, will y'all do me a favor and just give it up for everybody? Oh, I love you guys. I truly love you guys. And when I say that, let me just say this. Like, I'm thankful for all of our campuses. When I say, well, I'm thankful for everybody, what I really mean is I'm thankful for you. That I want you to know that I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for each and every one of you that has taken time to be here at church. I mean, I want you to think about 4th of July. You could be anywhere right now. You could be on the river. You could be at home relaxing. You could be at the inlet. But you've chosen to be at church. And I want you to know that that really does, it makes a difference here. And it matters to me. It matters to God. It's a great thing. So I just want you to know that we appreciate you. But I don't want you just to come and leave. I want you to get connected. And I want you to know that there's a way for you to get connected. In Conway, there's a little QR code on the chairs. You can scan that or go to the Connect Corner. If you're at Coastal, if you're in Aynor, go to the Connect Corner or at the coffee bar. If you're online, make sure you connect with the host, all right? Now, today we are celebrating 4th of July. All right, and we've all celebrated 4th of July. We've all been a part of it. We've all watched fireworks. We've all probably lit some fireworks. We've all probably been blown up or burnt by some fireworks, all right? I mean, maybe not here in Conway. I know those of you in Aynor have had that happen, okay? Because that's just Aynor, all right? But anyway, what is the point? What is the point of the 4th of July? Let's take a little history lesson. Let's go back in time just a little bit. And let's kind of talk about this idea of the 4th of July. You know, we celebrate it as the Independence Day of America. Well, in reality, it was July 1st. At least Thomas Jefferson would say this. That Thomas Jefferson would say that it was on July 1st that the colonies became a United States of America. Because it was on July 1st that they all agreed that they were going to secede away from Great Britain and they were going to become their own sovereign nation. But then what happened is from July 2nd through the 4th, they took what's called the Declaration of Independence. And on the Declaration of Independence, what they actually did is Thomas Jefferson wrote it, Ben Franklin edited it, and then the rest of the Continental Congress, they all went and worked it out and made sure it was ready. So on July 4th, a guy named John Hancock, all right? And that's probably a name that many of us know because we've probably all either done this, said this, or heard somebody say, well, just put your John Hancock on that. Because John Hancock is the name that we see on the Declaration of Independence as the biggest. And I've always wondered about that. I've always why did John Hancock sign it so big? And why is he right there in the middle, all right? Well, the reason is simple. He was actually the president of the Continental Congress. That he was the one who officially had to sign for it. It was his responsibility, so he signed. He was literally, him and Thomas Jefferson as the secretary, they were literally the only ones that signed it at first. It wasn't until it went and got reprinted, and on August 2nd, everybody else at the Continental Congress signed the Declaration of Independence, all right? So, I know, you didn't come to church for a history lesson, but I think that that's just interesting, that our nation was founded, we find freedom, we find all that, on the 4th of July because of this Declaration of Independence. And it's what our whole nation, it's what America is built upon. It's what we're founded upon. And I don't know if you've thought about the words of it. The Declaration, it's pretty interesting. If you think about the words, this is the preamble, okay? So this is the opening part of the Declaration. It reads, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." All right? And I love this for several reasons. All right? The first reason why is because 245 years ago, our founding fathers, they said, one, that everyone is created equal. I love that. But they said it for this reason, that they are endowed by the Creator. That our founding father said, there is a Creator God that makes all men equal. Don't you think that's something that our nation needs to hear again? Isn't that something that we need to be a part of? Isn't that something that we all should rally around, is that we have a Creator God that says that all people matter to Him. And then because of that, we have rights, unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, which really means freedom. Okay, oftentimes we see that word liberty, you're like, well, what's that really mean? It just means freedom. That they're saying that we deserve, or we have the right to life, to freedom, and the pursuit of happiness. All right, and that's beautiful. And I love that America is founded on that. I really do. I love that is a part of our history. It's who we are. It's our founding declaration. All right, but let me just make sure everybody's clear on this. That we can pursue these things, that you can pursue life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, but being an American isn't going to guarantee those things. Because you can't be guaranteed of life, liberty, and happiness. Now, I do think you can be guaranteed of joy, of freedom, and life. And we find joy and freedom in life inside of Christ. Inside of Christ, we see that. And the beautiful thing here about finding this inside of Christ is Jesus said, let me help you find it. That just as our nation was founded upon the Declaration of Independence, upon this document, that Jesus gives us a declaration. And if we'll follow His declaration, we can find life, we can find freedom, and we can find joy. Well, what is that declaration? It's simply this. To love God, to love people, and to do something about it. That is the declaration that Jesus says. That He says, here's what the church should be founded upon. And when you hear that, I want you to make sure you catch this. When He's saying that, He's saying, here's what your life should be founded on. Here's what your life should be founded on. That it's not just the church, because the church is people, so it means your life should be founded upon these principles, upon this declaration. And honestly, that's the declaration, that's the mission of every church. At least I could say it this way. Every Bible-based, Christ-centered church in the world has that as a mission statement. Right? You've probably heard people say, oh yeah, I was at this other church and it was so cool. Their mission statement was love God and love others, or love God and love people. And you've probably thought this as well. Like, yeah, sure is, because that is the mission of all churches. Now, we display it different ways. Here at The Rock, one of the ways we display that is through three stars. That if you look at our logo, we got three stars, all right? And that's on purpose. If the Rock logo has three stars, the C3 logo has three stars, and it's this whole idea of love God, love people, and do something about it. It's the whole reason I have three stars on my arm, all right? And it's not just me. There's other people at our church who have tattoos of three stars on their arm or their leg, all right? Now, I'm not telling everybody to go get a tattoo, unless you just want to go get one, all right? I mean, you can. That's up to you. But I do want you to understand the three stars. Actually, more importantly, I want you to understand love God, love people, and do something about it. That's what I want you to catch. That I want you to see what Jesus meant by this. So let's dive into it a little bit. Like, what did He mean by love God? All right? Well, He explained it. He said, this is the first part of the declaration that I want you to build your life upon. And he said it this way, because there was some religious leaders that were trying to trick him. They were trying to trap him. So they came to him, and they started asking him all kinds of questions. And one of them came and asked this question. It reads it in Matthew 22. It says, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" Like here's literally what the guy's doing. He's saying, like Jesus, there's like 600 laws. That we got the Big Ten that Moses gave us, and then we got like 590 other laws. There's 600 laws. Like, which one is the most important? Like which one do I need to be really careful of? Right? And I think we all get that, because we all understand that some laws, some rules are more important. Like, I know in my house growing up that we had a rule that you didn't break. We had a rule that you knew, like, you're gonna get in trouble, and it's don't backtalk mom. Like, I knew the moment I backtalked mom that she was going to hit me in the cheek. It didn't matter if it was this cheek or this cheek. I was getting hit in the cheek, okay? I just knew it, all right? In my house with my kids, the law is that you don't lie. Like, I know my kids are going to make mistakes. I know that they're going to sin. They're going to make bad decisions. Like, we're all human. We're going to do that. But when you do it, own up to it. Like, that's a rule in our house that our kids know. Like, that's the number one rule. Well, what's the number one rule when it comes to Jesus? Well, this guy asked him, said, "Jesus, what's the most important commandment?" And Jesus said this: "You must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment." That by Jesus saying that, what he's really doing is he's taking the Israelites, he's taking the people back to the Shema. All right, now the Shema, it's just a Hebrew word. All right, some of you have probably heard it before. And what the Shema means is it was a phrase that Moses gave the people. It's back in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that he knew it was his final kind of farewell speech to the people. So he said, "Hey, I want to remind you of the most important law. Love the Lord your God," all right? And he starts it this way. He says that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one," meaning there is a creator God. He is the sovereign God. And it is our job to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. That's what Moses tells the people. And everybody in Israel knew this is the most important commandment. This is the most important thing. So what Jesus is doing, he's going, "Listen, let me just take you back to that, because that's the most important rule," all right? And now, when you read that, you might say, "Okay, but what does that mean?" Well, if you just break it down real simple, love the Lord your God with all your heart. I mean, he should be the object of your affections. Like your heart has to be bent towards him. And it's easy for our heart to have all kinds of objects of affection. Like we'll find affection in our boyfriend or girlfriend. We'll find affection in our spouse or our fiance. We'll find affection in our kids or our parents. And nothing wrong with that, okay? But if that affection is greater than our affection towards God, well, there is something wrong with that. We'll see that in a second. That we have to love God with all of our heart. We have to love him with all of our soul. What's that mean? Well, that simply means to love him with your life. Like, when I'm loving him with my soul, I'm loving him with my essence, with all of my life. Now, I got to love him with my mind. It means I got to make sure every thought, everything that comes through here is focused on him. I got to love him that way. And Jesus helps us with that. Because when you hear that, you go, "Okay, well, how do I put that into practice in my life?" Well, what I would say is this: don't like Jesus, love Jesus. Or another way I'd say this is, don't be a fan of Jesus, be a follower of Jesus. Because there was a point in Jesus' life when a bunch of people were fans. There was a crowd following him one day. And I can imagine Jesus turning around and looking at the crowd. And when he looked at the crowd, he's like, "I got a bunch of people who like me right now. I got a bunch of fans, but I don't have a bunch of followers. And I wanna help people understand the difference between liking me and loving me." So he did this. Let's look at it. It's from the book of Luke. It says, "A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and he said to them, 'If you want to be my disciple,'" meaning this, that he's looking at him, he's like, we gotta get the record straight. "Too many of you all just like me." Like, too many of y'all are like, "Oh yeah, Jesus, he's a good dude. Too many are like, oh yeah, I want to make sure that I hang out with Jesus every now and then. That he's doing some cool miracles. He's giving away some free bread and some free fish, and he's turning all the water into wine. I mean, it's a good thing. I'm going to just hang out with Jesus. I'm a fan of Jesus. That's really what was going on back then. Isn't that what's going on today? I mean, if we're honest with one another, isn't there a lot of people who like Jesus but don't necessarily love Jesus? And we need to make sure that's not true of us. We got to make sure that's not true of our friends, of our family, of our coworkers, of our classmates. We got to help people love Jesus. So what Jesus did, he says, well, let me help you love me. He said this, turned to the crowd. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else. Your father and your mother, your wife and your children, your brothers and your sisters. That by comparison, you have to hate everybody else. And what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, I have to be the object of your affection. That I gotta be the object of your affection. That other people, they can have your affection, but I've gotta be the object of your affection. If you wanna love me and not just like me, then make sure I'm the object of your affection. And then he goes on and he says that you gotta love me in a way this way. You gotta hate in this way that you almost even hate your own life. Which might sound weird, okay? Because we're gonna talk in a second about you gotta love yourself. So how does that work? Well, here's what he's saying is that you cannot be my disciple if you do not carry your own cross and follow me. That if I'm gonna love Jesus with my soul, then that means I'm gonna love him with all of my life. It means I'm willing to pick up a cross and I'm willing to carry it and I'm willing to walk wherever he calls me to walk and do whatever he calls me to do because I'm loving him with everything, with my soul, with my life. And then that takes us to the last one, the last part of verse. So you cannot be my, cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Other translations will say without giving up everything you have. That basically saying that everything in your life, every thought that comes to your mind, everything that you deal with, that you have to be willing to say, Jesus, I'm giving it up for you. Because I don't want to be a fan. I don't want to simply like you. I want to love you with everything. That's the first declaration, love God. And then the second declaration is then love people. That Jesus said, you have to love God, but then he also said it this way, you have to love people. Going back to what Jesus said when the guy asked him the question. He said, and a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. That he's saying, all 600 plus laws, all the things that the prophets have said all through the Old Testament, they're all based on this idea of loving God and loving people. All right, well, how do we love people? Because let's be honest, people are hard to love, right? Can I get an amen on that? Like they're hard to love. I mean, God, it's easier to love God, and God is perfect, but people are imperfect. So it's difficult to love them because sometimes they make mistakes, sometimes they sin, sometimes they show up late, sometimes they say the wrong thing, sometimes I say the wrong thing. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like people can be difficult to love. Well, then how do I love them? Well, just follow Jesus' words. Love your neighbor as yourself. See, there's a real problem there. I think many of us, we don't know how to love ourselves. I think many of us, that we think about our past, we think about our problems, and we think we're not worthy of God. Or other things we'll do is we'll love ourselves with fake things. That we'll fill our life with food. We'll fill our life with shopping. We'll fill our life with drugs. We'll fill our life with filters on our profile pics because we're trying to love ourselves with fake things. And fake things don't help us love ourselves because then we realize, no, that's not fulfilling it. So then we go back and we look at ourselves and we're like, well, I'm not lovable. And that's where we need to come to a better understanding. You are made in the image of God. You're made in the image of God. And because you're made in the image of God, you matter. You are loved. And there's somebody who needs to hear that right now. that you need to hear that you matter to him. And because you matter to him, when you start to understand that, then you can start loving yourself because you realize I'm in the image of God. So I want to love myself in a real way. And a real way is by connecting to God. And then if I understand that I matter to God, that I'm in the image of God, well, then I can see that all my neighbors matter to God. And then, so if I love myself, I can then truly love my neighbor. Well, the guy Jesus is saying this to said, well, who's my neighbor then? Like he's trying to make himself look good. It's like, well, okay, that's good. I understand what you're saying, but who's my neighbor? Well, then Jesus told him a story. He said, let me tell you a little story. There was a guy who was heading down the road, and as he was going down the road, he fell into the hands of robbers. And the robbers beat him up and stole all his money and left him on the side of the road for dead. And then a little bit later, a priest came walking by. And when the priest saw him, he walked by on the other side of the road. Now, when I say priest, this means a man of God. This would have been somebody who works for God, somebody who works in the temple. But when he saw the guy, he passed by on the other side. And then a little bit later, a Levite comes by. And a Levite, well, they are of the priestly family. So you can really say the same thing. He's a man of God. But for some reason, he passes by on the other side as well. I don't know if it's because they're heading to church. I don't know if it's like, well, we don't want to get dirty. We don't want to be unclean. We don't know exactly why they didn't stop. Maybe he just didn't have enough time. But for some reason, they said, we're not stopping. And they kept going. But then a Samaritan came. Now, let's make sure we understand this. A Samaritan back then, again, back then, the Jews would have called the Samaritans half-breeds. They would have said they're a mixed race. They would have said they don't matter. So this Samaritan sees this Jew who's down on the ground, left for dead, and when he sees him, he doesn't see somebody who doesn't like him. He doesn't see somebody who has wrong thoughts towards him. He sees somebody who's in the image of God, and he says, that's my neighbor. I got to take care of him. So the guy literally gets off his donkey and goes and cares for the guy, picks him up, puts him on his own donkey, and then takes him to the inn, gives him to the innkeeper, and says, here's the money to take care of him. I'll come back in a few days, and if I owe you more, I'll take care of you. So in that, here's actually what the Samaritan's doing. He's not only loving the guy who is left for dead, but he's looking at the innkeeper, and he's saying, the innkeeper is my neighbor as well. That this Samaritan guy said, I'm going to love my neighbor. Well, how do you do that? Just follow the example of the Samaritan. And that is simply this. Get off your donkey. Can I just say it that way? Can I just say, just get off your donkey? Because literally, that's what he did. He got off this donkey, and he got off his real donkey, and he went and he helped the guy. That's what he did. He did something. He bandaged his wounds. He loved him. He reached out to him. He cared for him. He used money. He got dirty. He did whatever it takes. And if you want to follow the declaration of Jesus, we have to love God, we have to love people, and then we have to do something about it, and we do that by getting off our donkey. It's really that simple. And that's a sacrifice. If you're going to do something, it's a sacrifice. The Samaritan man, it was a sacrifice. The people at the Continental Congress, it was a sacrifice. That they sacrificed, that they went into this meeting and they made a decision to become a sovereign state. And by doing so, they knew they were going to have to leave their families. They knew it wasn't going to be easy. They knew war was going to come, blood was going to be shed, and people were going to give up their lives. But they were willing to do something. Think about Jesus for a second. In the same way Jesus did this. That Jesus, out of an act of love for God and of an act of love for people, he came to this earth. He sacrificed. He died. He was buried. He rose from the dead. He did something. So let's follow his example and follow his words. Because what he says is you got to love God. He says you got to love people. And he says you got to do something about it. It's his very last words to us while he was on earth. This is what he said. It's Matthew 28. He said, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Do you know what he's really saying there? I'm the Alpha. Go back to our last series. I'm the Alpha. And then he says this. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That Jesus is saying that if you're going to love God and love people, then you got to do something. And here's the beauty. He tells us how to do it. He says this. He says, go. If you actually go back to the Greek, what that really sounds like is he's saying, as you go. Not just like he's saying, all right, I need you to go there right now. No, what he is really saying is, as you go. As you go to work. As you go to school. As you go to practice. As you go to your neighborhood. As you go to your friends. As you go to your family. That as you go, like it should be a constant part of your life that we're doing something. As we're going, we should make disciples. We make disciples, we make followers, not fans. The goal isn't to help people like Jesus. The goal isn't to help people be like, oh, I'm a fan of Jesus. No, the goal is to help people be followers where they say, I don't just like Jesus. I love him with everything I have. Well, how do you do that? How do you make that kind of a follower? Well, one, you help them respond. To help them to come to know Christ as their Savior. That's the reason it says baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's showing an act of conversion. So we help them come to Jesus. We help them respond to Jesus. And then you help them grow in Jesus. Teach these new disciples to obey all my commands. Help them to grow. Help them to mature. That's what we can do as people. That's how we can help people. That's how we can do something. So again, that's the declaration. The declaration of Jesus is to love God and to love people and to do something about it. That he's saying, listen, if you love God and you love people and you do something about it, that's when you can find life. That's when you can find liberty, freedom, and that's when you can find joy. And when I see that declaration, I can say this. That's a declaration I'm willing to put my John Hancock on. That's a declaration I'm willing to sign up for. That's a declaration I'm willing to sign on the dotted line and say, I'll put my John Hancock on that. The question that I have for you as we go into this time of response is, will you put your John Hancock on that same declaration?
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.